The following is a Pro Football Network podcast, the primary voice for pro football at profootballnetwork.com.
David Behrman here at Pro Football Network, live at Radio Row at Mandalay Bay. I'm honored to talk with Doug Kazarian, former colleague at ESPN Chalk and SportsCenter back in Bristol. He's out here at onlyplayers.com. Welcome, Doug.
Good to be with you. I don't know if honored's the right word.
I mean, come on. We go way back.
That's the whole point. We go way back. We're not honored. It's normal.
Hey, but we're here, and most importantly, the Super Bowl is here. And listen, you were in Vegas for a million years before moving to Bristol, and then back when Daily Wager, who's a host of Daily Wager, moved back to Vegas, studio over the link. Did you ever picture the Super Bowl being held in this city?
No.
Never.
Because there was a point, and still was for a long time, but Vegas commercials were not allowed during the Super Bowl broadcast. And I understand the concerns for any sort of company. People just didn't know and understand, A, what Vegas has to offer as a city, but B, the gambling sort of stigma. Like, it was just, and I get it, but, you know, it's like, where do you draw the line, right? So, and then when Roger Goodell took over, it was sort of like the successor of Tagliabue's administration, and Tagliabue was so against Vegas. So I never thought it would happen. Now, I will say, Vegas changed a little bit, and so people were allowed to adjust and change their mind. And I think it was a nice adjustment for Vegas to recognize maybe the best optics for your city is not to have a campaign that says what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and to push the debauchery narrative. That's not going to help you win over people who see Vegas only one way. So you kind of have to, like, start the marketing, if you will, of putting the toothpaste back in the tube and saying we're not just a debauchery capital. And it started with that. So while the NFL did change its mind, I think there was reason to. So I think everyone sort of became more progressive.
I asked Mark Davis the other night at opening night how often he expected the NFL to be back. Looked at me and jokingly said, why not every year? We know it won't be every year, but how often do you expect the Super Bowl to be here?
I think it's going to go in the rotation, assuming everything goes well this weekend. And, if I mean, frankly, in a vacuum, it should be every weekend, because no city is better equipped for events. We have the hotel infrastructure. We have the three-shift town that suits it. And, it's not just the debauchery. Like, there's restaurants. You can bring families here. You can do other stuff. You know, everything. Now, obviously, there's adult entertainment in terms of the casinos and other stuff, but every city that has the Super Bowl has that flavor as well. So it's just, we are convenient for events, and we don't have to change anything. A lot of people have to change things to put on a Super Bowl. Now, with that being said, or outside the vacuum, of course, it's not going to be every year, but I think if it should be in the rotation, it certainly makes sense. The stadium is state of the art. The airport is conducive to travel. Obviously, we have the event space. I mean, how many cities have events, have the capabilities to host Radio Row at like 5-7 different things?
No, this is the only one. And like you said, it's not like there's nothing bad goes on in Miami or New Orleans.
Of course.
And they don't have to bring cruise ships into Jacksonville. Right. So you have all the infrastructure.
Yeah, and we could have had Radio Row at the convention center and all these other places, right? It's the NCAA figured it out with all these conference tournaments. Obviously, hockey's here, and that was the first. WNBA's here, the NFL's here, baseball's coming here. I mean, it's all like super easy and super convenient, and there is a world that exists outside the Strip, although everything is obviously centered around the Strip in terms of a event town and travel town, but it's really convenient, and it's really flawless. I mean, New Year's Eve, I always say this, the Strip is packed. The roads are shut down, people everywhere, and by 6 a.m., it's already been street cleaned. It looks like nothing happened the night before. I mean, that's how smooth everything is operating in this town.
Moving to the game, I tell people that I never get better betting analysis than I do when I text you about something. And it's not just who you think is going to win. Right. It's what you're hearing and what people are doing in the market, in the industry. As we all know, it's a market. What are you hearing? What do you like? Assess this game.
So this game is a tough handicap. I mean, I won't even say probably. I'll have more on like an NBA second half total on Sunday than I will on this game. I don't have a single bet right now. I have a couple things bet, but that was early last week. What I'm hearing is like the sharpest money, the sharpest of the sharp money is on the Niners, and that's why the market's at a strong 2 and some even 2.5s. It's not going to go to 3, and if it does, it'd be for a hot second. One thing that I think has changed in the last couple years that I think is like noteworthy, and this is a little inside baseball, but the public money is not really shaping the Super Bowl line. For years, it was the only game where the public money actually moved the line because there was such heavy volume from the public and that the sharp money was only X amount and couldn't offset it so that the actual public, but two things have happened. One is there's more sharp money than there was ever before in the market. And number two is that there's more money in the prop market. It used to be slightly more than majority. Now it's like 65-60% of the money bet on the game is props. And those are spread out. So the actual money on the game, there's heavy sharp money on the game, and that's moving the market. So that's, so sharp money's on the Niners. Not that there isn't a single respected bet on the Chiefs. It's not pros versus Joes like the Bucks-Chiefs Super Bowl was when Mahomes had the hurt ankle. It's not that. But the people I talked to, the sharpest of sharp bets, came in at Niners money line, which is rare. Usually they don't bet money line. Money line at minus a quarter, so minus 125, then also like at one and a half that moved it to two.
Why do you think that is? We had Aaron Schatz on earlier, and Aaron said that the Ravens were the best DVO team he has seen in years, and the Niners were second best team he's seen in years. And he was assessing it because the Chiefs were sixth. That's using the advanced metrics.
Yeah.
Looking at the betting side, why is all the respected money on San Francisco?
Math guys like DVOA do shape the market more than most. Now, I happen to know the two groups that bet the Niners, and they're not really math-based. There's always going to be some math involved, but they're not super math-based. I think, and it's a great question because I asked people that same question. You told me that. They can't connect. You know, some odds makers like, I don't know. I think there's a law of averages here. I think the Niners have looked so bad. I think they're like, dude, because so much of this is the margins, right? The fumble that you either recover your own fumble or you don't, or the tipped interception that Purdy throws that was dropped, things like that. The Chiefs have benefited, based on the last two games, from poor coaching. The Ravens, you know, botched the offensive game plan. And then the week before, like the Bills, even if the field goal is missed, it's bad offense. You need to bleed clock on offense. And they didn't do that. They didn't throw underneath. They threw in the end zone. You know, Josh Allen. It was just bad coaching. I think McDermott was a poor coach. Not as egregious as the offensive game plan for the Ravens, but it was still poor coaching. So I think there's an element of the Chiefs can't benefit that much from what Shanahan would do to help them.
You mentioned 60 to 65% of money is going to be in the prop market. Where at? What props? What are you hearing? What are the big ones?
Just that's the total money bet.
Right,
so obviously all the Mahomes stuff and all the, you know, and then most of the money hasn't even been bet yet. So it's all coming in this weekend. And it's not just in Nevada, Super Bowl weekend, like it was the old days. Now there's, like 40 states now. So it's just people are not in a rush to bet a prop until like Sunday morning. So the most money will come in on like the Mahomes, McCaffrey, all the big names, Kelce, MVP stuff. But all the stuff that had like value is all gone. But I think it's eyes of the beholder, right? Sharp money isn't always right. Like they're just trying to go, like I always say on like a college football Saturday, they're just trying to go like 10-6. Mm-hmm. So like, whereas I try to go like 3-1. So hearing all these props, like some of these props are just math things. Like they were bet at minus 120, but they wouldn't bet it at minus 130. You know, things like that. So I haven't heard anything that's like, hey, like I had one last year that was really good. I haven't seen it this year. It's Mahomes' first rushing attempt. Should always be over because they don't do sneaks. They haven't done sneaks in 3 years because he got hurt on a Thursday night his last time. So if anyone sees Mahomes' first rushing prop, it was baked in the line last year, the chance of a sneak. But the Chiefs don't do any sneaks, so it should be 1.5. It should be like 5.5 because if he tucks and runs, he's going to do it. So that was an edge last year that was good to bet on up until. So that's my theory. I also like, honestly, I like the Chiefs' first quarter. I think Purdy has wet the bed, so to speak, on all his big games. The Ravens, the four interceptions, but even in the other big games with the pressure and everything, like he kind of takes a while to get calmed down.
Want to give you time to push your company?
Yeah, so we're onlyplayers.com, so it's a lot of different avenues. We have our own show on YouTube. It's called Wager Watch, and the handle is Wager Watch TV. So we do betting content, rapid fire, so to speak, on games. The app should be launching like any day now. We have all that content. My picks will be sent out on alerts, what I'm betting on, things like that. My analysis on some games too. Just, you know, keep an eye on this, keep an eye on that. And, you know, the business model off of that is distribution, linear and distribution digital outside of our own content. So we want to serve the viewer, but we're also trying to have corporate sponsors and network sponsors as well, because we believe that a lot of content out there is going to be going away because they're going to realize they can't do it right. So we're here to do it in a kind of an economical way where we can distribute our sort of content. But we also want to serve the better. And we do our content not to fill hours and hours of content like a network would. We want to deliver in bite sizes all my analysis and some of the other, like you said, my ecosystem of partners.
He's Doug Kazarian of OnlyPlayers.com. Former host of Daily Wager. I've only dreamt about sitting here interviewing Doug Kazarian all these years ago. Thank you, Doug. ProFootballNetwork.com at PFN 365.